The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Man, the NBA done got these, their scheduling fucked up with these NBA finals because they're way different than the way the previous rounds have been scheduled out throughout the playoffs. I thought we were going to have Game 5 yesterday. Turns out we're having Game 5 tonight in Denver. Sorry for that mistake on Friday's show when I was talking about the NBA finals. But regardless, we have a Game 5 tonight in Denver. But let's take it back to Friday and go back to Game 4, which I'm sure the Miami Heat definitely don't want to do, but we have to talk about it on the show. And it really was yet another massacre from the Denver Nuggets. They got the win 108-95 to take a commanding 3-1 lead in this series, heading back to Denver, of course. And the Heat just, they have not looked in sync pretty much at all. Even in the game they won, that was really just the Denver Nuggets pretty much collapsed and gave that game away. But overall, the Nuggets have just straight dominated the series, and Game 4 was no different. The first half was actually pretty close for a little while, but then the third quarter started, and the Denver Nuggets came out hot and just really started to pull away with the lead. And they just never turned back. I mean, shit, they even took the starters out with, I think, like 2-3 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, because that's how much of an ass-kicking it was. Nikola Jokic, of course, had a great stat line, but did not have a triple-double. He only had a double-double, and they still got the win. He had 23 points, 12 rebounds, and 4 assists. And then Jamal Murray, he had another solid game as well. He had a double-double with 15 points and 12 assists. But the guy who really stepped it up for the team was Aaron Gordon. He had 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists. It's pretty much been every game that the Nuggets win, it's Jokic domination, Jamal Murray domination, and then some other third guy steps it up. And this time around, it was Aaron Gordon. And I'm expecting, actually, the Denver Nuggets to close it out tonight. Like I said, the Miami Heat, they've been doing what they've been doing. You know, they're an eighth seed that just made it in barely at the – just as they just backed their way into the playoffs as you can. And they grabbed that last spot in the play-in. They played their asses off. They beat some really damn good teams along the way, but now they've finally met their match and run into a buzzsaw. I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to get a win tonight in Game 5, but like I said, the Nuggets have just dominated the series, and I'm expecting by Friday's show that this series is most certainly going to be wrapped up, but I think it's going to be wrapped up tonight, and I do think the Denver Nuggets will get their first NBA championship tonight in Denver, so we'll see how that ends up tonight. Then also this weekend, we had a legend of the UFC retire, Amanda Nunes. Not only did she win her fight this weekend commandingly against Irene Aldana, she dominated all five rounds, and she just took it. It just wasn't even close at all, and she won yet again, but she ended up retiring. She's held both belts so far, and she's had one of the most stellar UFC careers you ever will have, whether you're man or woman. She's just been one of the greatest of all time. She's leaving with a 23-5 record. She has the most wins for a woman all time in the UFC with 16. She has fourth overall tied UFC title wins, and she's tied with Anderson Silva of all people. So when we're talking UFC, she goes toe-to-toe right up there with men as well. And so she's fourth overall in UFC title wins. And then she actually has the most finishes for women at 10. And she's also just not only has she been dominating the sport basically since she entered, but she's taken down and fought against some of the greatest women fighters of all time. I mean, she was the first one to take out, she was the second one to take out Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm was the first to take her out, but, you know, she took out Ronda Rousey at the height of her career. She took out Holly Holm right after that. She took out Chris Cyborg, who I'm pretty sure Chris Cyborg could beat up a bunch of dudes. That's how fucking insane I think that bitch is. She's even beaten up Valentina Shevchenko, who's just another beast. So she's beaten up beasts. And just scratched and clawed and worked her way up and just has absolutely dominated and been one of the greatest fighters that the UFC has ever had. And, you know, I thank her for the memories. She's been one of my personal favorite fighters. Really enjoyed it. She's had some of the best knockouts you will see. And she just had a fantastic career, and it was cool to see her go out on top as well. I mean, you never know, athletes, and especially in fighting sports like UFC or boxing, it is easy to step away for a couple years and then be like, oh, I'm coming back. But she is 35, I believe, so she is up there in athlete years. And she's a fighter, you know, they take a beating regardless of how good you are taking a beating, even in practice, you are taking a beating. So we'll see. I'm not actually not shocked at all that she retired either. I had a feeling it was going to happen if she won, just because, earlier in the week when she was, doing her press conferences and all that, prior to the fight, she actually had mentioned that she thought of retirement, back when she, lost to Juliana Pena. So, you know, she had already been thinking of it over the last year or so, maybe even longer, who knows, but, so I wasn't really shocked at all when I saw that she retired, but, regardless, she leaves behind an amazing legacy, most certainly is going to be inducted in the UFC Hall of Fame, hands down, not only one of the greatest women UFC fighters, but she's one of the greatest men or women fighters, hands down in UFC, so, congrats to Amanda Nunes. Wish you the best of luck in whatever you do in the future. And if you come back, I will still be watching, of course, as the rest of us will be. All right, so now let's move on to the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. We actually did have a couple shakeups here. There is one team that's really shot up the ranks, because now I think we officially have to put them on alert as a legit team. So let's start it off with the team who's been number one all season long so far, and that, of course, is the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 48-20. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Minnesota Twins and then also the Texas Rangers. They split that series, and this team is just, they're just rolling. It kind of feels like at some point they're going to fall off, and they have yet to do so. I mean, Shane McClanahan, he leads the league with 10 wins. In a 2.18 ERA and 92 strikeouts. So he is just having one of the most dominating seasons a pitcher can possibly have. And then just with their bats, they just keep it going. And they have so many guys who just continue to step it up. And right now it's Isaac Paredes. He's been having a great couple of weeks. He's batting a 260 with 11 home runs and 45 RBI. He actually leads the team right now in RBI. So it just kind of feels like the Rays have a new guy stepping it up each and every week. But then you also, of course, have Shane McClanahan holding it down as the ace of the team. And then, of course, Randy Arozarena, who's just been the workhorse and the dude with the bat for the Rays this year. But he's had a lot of help as well behind him. And this week, it's been parodies the last couple of weeks. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Atlanta Braves, overall record of 40-25. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the New York Mets and the Washington Nationals, and the Braves are on a tear right now. They are just hot. They can't be stopped with their bats, but also, I mean, Spencer Strider, this guy is just knocking them out of the park. He's got 6 wins with a 3.79 ERA, which is pretty high, but the dude's got 121 strikeouts on the season, and that is just mowing everybody down. And I just feel like this guy has got to get better as the season goes on. He also has already, you know, he's been doing this already. He won Rookie of the Year last year, and so I just kind of feel like he's just getting started. So I feel like as the season goes on, he's going to get better. But the Braves are very similar to what the Tampa Bay Rays are, is that They've got these big powerhouse dudes who are able to take care of business, but then it's just like week after week, there's a different guy stepping it up. And, you know, Ozzie Albies, he just continues his reign of terror with batting a .253, 14 home runs and 14 RBI. You've got Matt Olson, who still leads a team in home runs and RBI. And then, of course, Acuna Jr., he just can't be stopped. I mean, you kind of thought that the injuries he suffered over the last couple of seasons would take him out of the game, but the guy really has not lost a step, because even though it's really his power with the bat, the guy is excellent defensively, and he's really made some big-ass plays for the Braves this year. I've said it all season long from the start. The Braves were pretty much the team I feel like they have the best overall team. And so far, they're really proving it. I mean, while, yes, the Rays are the top team, they've been the hottest team, they don't have the type of experience that the Braves have. And I kind of feel like that's going to, if they, say, maybe face off against each other in the World Series, that would be a type of edge I would give to the Braves rather than the Rays. But both of these teams have a lot of weapons, from pitching to hitting, and then also to their defense as well. They're both excellent teams, but the Braves right now are on fire, and their record shows. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Texas Rangers. Overall record of 41-23. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the St. Louis Cardinals and then split a series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, they are leading the league when it comes to hitting the balls out of the park. They are right now have 400 runs, which leads the league. And then they lead the league in ERA or in batting average as well with a 274. That's what they're averaging right now. I mean, they just can't be stopped. And then, of course, it's all about Marcus Semien right now, who's batting a 296 with 9 home runs and 51 RBI. And he's just been on base basically every time he steps up to the plate. He gets on base. I know he either had or still currently has an on-base streak right now. And he's been just huge offensively for the Rangers. And even though they got the terrible news about losing DeGrom for the rest of the season last week, they still haven't slumped. They haven't fallen off. And they seem to only be getting better, especially with the bats. They just are raking it right now. And they're just head and shoulders above the rest and looking really, really solid. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, this is the team that has shot up, the team that I think we actually need to start looking at as a legit team, and that is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Overall record of 40-25. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Washington Nationals and the Detroit Tigers, and they are currently still in first place in the National League West. And I mean, the Dodgers are really falling hard right now. The Giants, not really a good team. And then the Padres, they're also falling hard too. So the only consistent team in the National League West all season so far has been the Diamondbacks. And in this last couple of weeks, Zach Gallen has been getting blown up. He's been the guy carrying this team, but they're getting it done behind the plate as well. Corbin Carroll has really stepped it up right now. He's batting a .308 with 13 home runs and 33 RBI on the season. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., he's also continuing to light them up offensively as well. And the Diamondbacks are just overall looking like a really solid team. And I don't know if it's just because a lot of the National League is very weak at this current point in time. But I mean, to be dominated in the National League West, that each and every one of us I can guarantee nobody really picked the Diamondbacks to win that division or to even have a shot in that division. So the fact that they're here, and I do think we have to get used to it, that I do think they're going to be here for a minute. And this may not be a fluky team. They may actually make the playoffs. I know we've got a ways to go. We're actually heading towards the halfway point of the season, of course, here in about a month. But the Diamondbacks have either been in first place or second place all season in the National League West. And that does say a lot, because while the Dodgers are not playing that great of baseball, they're still the Dodgers with a stacked-ass roster. And then, of course, the Padres, they're being the Padres, and then the Giants just suck. And then the Rockies, they also just suck. So, I mean, good for the Diamondbacks. If they just keep it up, they are going to take this division, because they have padded this lead, and they're just getting further and further out, and all the rest of the teams in the National League West are falling back, and I kind of feel like at this time, it is finally officially time to believe in the Arizona Diamondbacks as a legit team. All right, and at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another team that I believe we need to start taking seriously, the Baltimore Orioles. Overall record of 41-24. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they did lose a series to the Milwaukee Brewers, but they took the series against the Kansas City Royals, and they still get it done in all ways, shapes, and forms. They have their pitcher Tyler Wells right now with 5 wins, a 3.24 ERA, and 74 strikeouts on the season. And they're just getting it done with, you got Cedric Mullins, who's getting it done behind the plate, and Austin Hayes, another guy who's getting it done behind the plate. So they have a lot of guys just stepping it up when they need to, and they're not getting scared of any of these teams that they're facing. And it feels like each and every week they're starting to get better, and it's looking like we might have to start looking at the Orioles as a legitimate team as well. But they are in a much more difficult division than the Diamondbacks because, the Orioles have a lot of good teams. They've, of course, got the Rays. They, of course, have the Yankees. They, of course, have the Red Sox. And and then they also have the Blue Jays as well. So they have a lot of teams that are very streaky, but they're also very capable of taking them down. But so far, the Orioles and the Rays have been the two most consistent teams in that division. And if they keep it that way, then that means the Orioles have a really good shot at making the playoffs. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Houston Astros, overall record of 37-29. They are having a bad couple of weeks. They are 4-6 in their last 10 games. That's why they've taken such a tumble in the top 10 this week. This past week, they lost a 4-game series and lost 3 out of the 4 games to the Toronto Blue Jays, and then they just got swept by the Cleveland Guardians, and the news was just terrible for them earlier in the week. Yordan Alvarez, they are missing their home run leader, their RBI leader, and he's injured, and he hurt his oblique, which is a big deal for a heavy hitter like Yordan. So we'll see how long he's going to be out, but that's definitely going to take a hit to the offensive side of things, but they are still looking pretty solid at starting pitcher. I mean, Valdez and Javier, they both are just they're having fantastic seasons at starting pitching, but it's just been a down couple of weeks for the Astros, and they are on a bad losing streak right now, but not bad enough for me to drop them out of the top 10 just yet. Or even to really start worry. I mean, every team has its ups and downs. Even World Series winners, you can look back at probably every World Series team in the history of the league, and the majority of them at some point in the season have some type of lull or some type of losing streak or just look bad at some point in time. Suffer through injuries, that's always a big deal. I mean, the season is long, so of course that's going to happen. But when you lose your big guy, it could take a big hit, and they're in a tough division this year as well. I mean, you got the Rangers, who have just really been cruising. Then you also have the Mariners, who right now are playing down, but they're always capable of playing well. Then you also have the Angels, who are also surging as well. So the Astros really they can't really afford as many losing streaks as some other teams can, especially over in the National League. Then speaking of the National League, at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Miami Marlins. Yeah, another team. I don't think we have to believe in them yet, but they're doing well enough to make the top 10 this week. Their overall record is 37-29. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, so they're playing pretty well currently. This past week, they took the series against the Kansas City Royals and the Chicago White Sox. It's been all about Luis Arias. He has been hovering around the batting average of .400 all season long. Right now, he's stuck at .397. It's been many, many decades since anybody's averaged a .400 throughout the season. It was Ted Williams back in, the 60s. a long ass time ago, before I was even born, was the last time somebody was able to average a 400 throughout the season. So Arias is trying to do that, and so far he's doing a pretty damn good job of it. And then he's also getting some help from Jorge Soler, who's batting a .258 with 19 home runs and 38 RBI. He currently leads the team in home run and RBI, and he's been a huge source of offense for them as well. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings at the Los Angeles Angels, overall record of 36-31. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Chicago Cubs and the Seattle Mariners. And, you know, it's just all about Shohei Ohtani, as it is with this team. He's batting a .287 with 18 home runs and 46 RBI. By the way, he leads the team in home run and RBI. Then you turn over to the pitching with 5 wins, 3.32 ERA, and 102 strikeouts. That is just insane. I mean, 46 RBI and 102 strikeouts. This guy is just nuts. I feel like he's really the only reason why the Angels are even playing well this season, which is great for them, because like I said before the season started, I really want to see the Angels at least be competitive, just because I think they're wasting the careers of two fantastic players in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. They're two franchise-changing players. And, you know, it kind of feels like Trout's just been wasting away over there, and you really don't want the same thing to happen to Ohtani. Although it looks like this is probably going to be Ohtani's last year there, so good for him. But the good thing is that this team really is rallying around him. He has not suffered any type of debilitating injury. Mike Trout's been able to stay healthy. Hunter Renfroe has been a huge source of offense for them as well. So they've just been able to put it together. They are in a difficult division, so it's going to be tough for them to make a playoff run. But it has been nice to see that Ohtani's been having a nice season, Trout's been having a nice season, and that the Angels, they've made my top 10 a few times, so that means they're actually a team that should be competitive throughout the rest of the season, and hopefully we'll see them in the playoffs, because like I said, those are two damn good players that we as baseball fans just need to be seeing at a competitive level in the postseason, because that's what you want to see. At least that's what I want to see. I always want to see the best players of every generation, of every era, at least get a shot, so we can at least say, oh, no, he choked in the playoffs, or, oh, no, he showed up every time in the playoffs. I mean, Jimmy Butler, if you turn it back to basketball, and you look at the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, he usually is pretty solid in the regular season, but he always steps it up in the postseason. What do we all remember about him? Him stepping it up in the postseason. And that goes a lot longer than if you are a choke artist in the postseason. We always remember that, and the losers always fade, and the winners always are always on top. And so that's why I definitely want to see the Angels at least be competitive and make the playoffs, just because it would be nice to actually say, yeah, you know, Mike Trout was really one of the greatest of all time, because we've not only seen him dominate the regular season, but we want to see how he does during the postseason. And we haven't seen a lot of that, because the Angels have been shit for the majority of Trout's career. But so far this season, looking pretty solid, and hopefully they're able to keep it up. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 38-29. This is another team that's careening back down to the earth. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, so not doing well. They just got swept by the Chicago White Sox and the Boston Red Sox this weekend. And it's just been not good at all for them. They, of course, lost Aaron Judge last week to the injured list. Then they lost Nestor Cortez as well to the injured list. Cole did not have a good outing this past week. He got blown up for basically the first time in the season. And the Yankees right now are reeling without Aaron Judge. And hopefully his injury is not going to be too much longer for them, because, you know, right now the Blue Jays are actually starting to surge. They've been on the downslide, but you know what they're always capable of doing. And then, of course, you know, the Red Sox just swept them. And then they're in the best division, you know, with the Rays and the Orioles, who are playing great right now. So the Yankees really can't afford these type of losing streaks, because if they get too far behind, it's going to be way too difficult to catch up. And it might be too late when these guys get back off the injured list. And kind of the way the season's been going for the Yankees, actually, it's been going this way for what feels like the last, like, at least five seasons where it's just like they get a guy back from the injured list, a new guy joins the injured list. They get a guy back, a new guy goes on. Yeah, so it's just kind of seems to be their MO, and it's just very odd because you would think that the Yankees would have like the best medical staff in the entire league. And it kind of feels like they have one of the worst because it's very difficult for them to keep guys off of the injured list for a long time. And yeah, I know there's guys like Giancarlo Stanton. He of course is older, and he's always been injury prone for like what, the last like five-ish seasons. So we expect him to get injured all the time. It just is ridiculous to see these guys get off the injured list and then go back on, because now that Stanton's off, I guarantee you when Aaron Judge comes back, Stan's probably going to be injured yet again. And so we'll have this shuffling of the deck yet again. And so it just kind of feels like that's what the Yankees have been doing all season. And you really don't want to continue that trend because it's going to beat you up towards the end of the season. And then once the playoffs roll around, you're not going to have a lot of depth. And you need depth when it comes to a seven-game series, because if you go all seven games, you're going to need every single man on that roster. And if you have too many injuries, that's going to bite you in the ass. But the Yankees do have the capability of being one of the top teams in the league. I mean, we have yet to see Carlos Rodon start a game for them this season. And of course, they're going to get Cortez and Judge back, and they'll probably be just fine. But they can't be falling back too far behind because they're in a really tough division. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 31-34. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series against the Boston Red Sox and then, of course, swept the Houston Astros. And as I mentioned last week, I was kind of hovering about putting them in the top 10 last week because I kind of felt like they're getting ready to make a little bit of a run. They're in a pretty weak division. I mean, really nobody has been established as the top dog in that division yet, so they could easily win this shit. They've always been a great second-half team. They have a great manager with Tito, so they just are a really solid team overall. They have pretty decent players. It's just they kind of remind me of the Miami Heat. They're very Jekyll and Hyde, and they can have really, really bad games, and they can have really, really good games. But the Guardians, I did sneak them in this week because, hey, I mean, the teams they beat this week, really good. And then sweeping the Astros, you can't overlook that for sure. Even without Alvarez, you can't overlook that team. And, you know, they're getting it done with Josh Naylor, who's having a great season so far. He's batting a .282 with 8 home runs, 48 RBI. And then, of course, Jose Ramirez, he had that huge 3 home run game earlier in the week. And then overall in the season, he's batting .278 with 10 home runs and 38 RBI. So the Guardians round out the top 10 this week. We'll see if they're able to overtake that division. Right now, the Twins are at the top of the division. But I just kind of see the Guardians making a little bit of a run here. I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt that they're going to trade away Shane Bieber, which is a possibility. He kind of feels like a player you would trade and see what you could get for. But at the same time, he's still a solid workhorse pitcher, and he could be handy come the end of the season, or if they're able to make a playoff run, or just make some type of run in the playoffs at some point. So we'll see what the Guardians do, but I just kind of feel like at some point this team's going to overtake their division and probably end up winning that division because it's there is not a leader of the pack in that division right now at this point. All right, so that is this week's top 10 MLB Power Rankings. Enjoy Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, and we'll see if by Friday's show we have us a new NBA champion. I'm predicting, of course, it's going to be the Denver Nuggets, but hey, who knows? Maybe the Heat will win these next two games and this week, and then we'll be talking on Friday's show about maybe a Game 7, but I really doubt that. I'm expecting by Friday's show we're going to be calling the Denver Nuggets the champions, but that is why they play the game. So, of course, enjoy Game 5 of the NBA Finals and enjoy the rest of the week of baseball, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.